The epistle appointed to be read for this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted. And do not become idolaters, even as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you, but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou hast known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee and surround thee and shut thee in on every side and will dash thee to the ground and thy children within thee. And will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And he entered the temple, and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first thing this morning, I ask for prayer for our beloved first Alfred Krebsbach, who has undergone a successful operation, but side effects and complications have set in and is in need of prayer. Also, I ask you for your prayer for Victoria Henderson. They are presently in the air flying toward Washington State seeking help and treatment and hopefully to get it. So let us pray for our brother and sister and anyone else amongst us that is in need of prayer at this moment for whatever reason. Let us kneel, please.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May Almighty God bless them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And may this blessing rest upon them now and forever. Amen.
Because of the weather this morning, my dear people, we will cancel the oblate meeting, as also we cancel the catechism class. It is too unpleasant outside for us to be hanging around in it. This coming week, we celebrate the awesome feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must pray again and again and again, my beloved people, that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ will transfigure himself again to us, and that he will manifest himself again in a very special way to us. As we stand in desperate need of help, of consolation, of comfort, of understanding, it is here, my beloved people, what we have been predicting for so long. And we need the very special prayer, help, the very special hope and encouragement and blessing from our blessed Lord. We all are in trouble, and we need help. We need his blessing. We need his love. But we, blessed people, must be absolutely positive without a shadow of a doubt to give to him the love and the devotion and the commitment that he expects from us. In today's bulletin, there's a little writing concerning the Transfiguration. Please read it. Please read it carefully. And please tell him, I do mean, read my lips if you can from a distance. Read my lips. Make sure that he hears you, and remind him that you belong to him, and to him you wish to belong. There is no way out. If we are Christians, if we are devoted and committed and attached to our holy religion, we have no out but to do what he has told us to do. The Assumption of our Blessed Mother is coming up also Saturday, I think it's next Saturday, in which case we have to go to Mass on both days. And that's a difficulty, but that's part of our religion. And that's part of our belief. That's part of our mortification and penance. Give to the Blessed Mother all that you have to give, and hold nothing back, and tell her, please, to bring to him all that you are, and to take the heart of each and every one of us and bring it to him whole and entire. We are there, beloved people. We've been talking about this for a long time, and we have perhaps felt, well, that's something we'll worry about tomorrow. It is today. In our bulletins each week now, We have included a little section, a little fragment of that ever so wonderful book on prayer and the power of prayer. I urge you to read that, not only to read it, but to study it and see what every word in it means. Duplicate it in the best way you can. Proofread it. Make sure that not one word is changed, because the absence of a single word can possibly lead to a misunderstanding. The whole thrust of that study concerning prayer concerns the time when there are no priests for Mass, for the sacraments, for confession. You say, well, things are looking pretty good. What's he talking about? I'm talking about just that. We are there. Believe it or not. I had a call on Saturday night, last night. You might ask, why is it that you get all your telephone calls on Saturday night? Well, very simple. I'm not talking to you people. By the grace of God, you have a church to go to. Pray for that church. Pray for us. By the grace of God, you have a church to go to. But only last night, again, another person from a distant part of this country calls, Father, I have no place to go to church to tomorrow morning. I cannot go to confession. I have no priest. I cannot hear Mass. I cannot go to communion. What am I supposed to do? People become especially frantic on Saturday nights because the next day is Sunday. I am not exaggerating. I am not embellishing. I'm telling it to you just like it is. Write to your friends and relatives and neighbors. Send them these things on prayer. They have no place to go. You know as much about the history behind my word this morning without my having to go into detail. I don't want to go into detail because it's distasteful, because we mention names and we don't like to mention names. We don't like to point out this place and that place. I am not suggesting, as I've said many times before, that we here are the only ones that hold the truth in our hands. I did not say that. I do not think that. I do not indicate that. But I am suggesting that we are one of the places that still struggles and still tries to hold on to the holy religion as set before us by Jesus Christ. You say you are so gloomy and so grim. Yes, indeed, I am gloomy. And yes, indeed, I am grim. And I cannot call it anything else but that, my beloved people. It is a serious matter, and it depends entirely on the amount of grace that Almighty God gives each one of us. Grace to be able to hold on to that religion when so much of what we face every day militates against that grace. We are in trouble. And you, my beloved people, if I could shout it from the housetops, I would. When he comes back the next time, please be certain. Be certain without a shadow of a doubt that you, each one, will say, "Here I am, Lord." The chances are that we will be suffering much. Indeed, it is a suffering. What greater suffering can there be than the suffering of the mind, the suffering of worry and concern? This is a tremendous suffering. It is worse than physical suffering. And all that we can do, all that we hope to do, all that I hope to do, if God gives me the grace and the time to do it, is to be able to just simply hold on, if nothing more, to just a thread of that rope that is extended for us to hold on to. That's all we've got, is a thread. I do not ask God to keep me as such here in this veil of tears. I do not wish to remain here and be in this condition. But I am forced to ask God to please give me personally the grace to live long enough to pull each of us, you, us, here, through, myself included, through this horrible situation. You do not know how horrible it is until someone calls for help. You come here and you want to go out of here feeling good and cheerful and happy. The only cheerfulness and happiness that I can extend to you is the peace and the joy that Jesus Christ can give us, beloved people. This is no time to laugh. It is a time to pray much, to pray consistently, to be constantly committed to this which we believe in. You, each of you, who is it in this room right now, myself included, that does not have loved ones who are in need of prayer, who are in need of help, and who do not know? And worst of all, as you've heard me say before, it has come to the point where they do not know that they do not know. They do not care that they do not care. That's the saddest part of all. Dearest people, our own children, our own brothers and sisters, our own parents militate, wonder about us as being the weird ones, to hang on to something that is medieval, that modern man has grown beyond medievalisms, and that modern man is dealing with an up-to-date mind. He cannot continue to exist with a mind that prevailed 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago was the time of saints. Yes, but beloved people, beloved people, today is a time for even more saints. And you, yes, I again am not embellishing, you are amongst the most logical candidates for sanctity. Do not give that up. Do not listen to the poisoned honey that is extended to you. Remember that I have said in here before that Lucifer was the most beautiful of God's angels. He continues to maintain that beauty. How else could he be so influential over the vastest multitude of earth, except that he presents himself with all the beauty that he's capable of presenting? Our people, once upon a time, where is their modesty? Where is their purity? Where is their reverence? Where is their holiness? Where is their mortification and their penance and their prayer? Where has it gone? It is all gone with the wind. Do not be afraid, beloved people, to get on your knees. There's nothing shameful about that. Get on your knees, men. Show your family what to do. Get on your knees and pray. We foster here, as you know, the little home chapels, the little monastic chapels in your own homes. Go to those chapels. Go to them and pray. That is your place of prayer. That is your place of commitment. That is your place of dedication. You know which pamphlet people are beginning to ask more for as time goes on? Our little pamphlet that has the Mass of St. John on it. Because for many people out there, that's all they've got. And if any of you know of some people that might want such a pamphlet, if we got plenty of them, and if we run out, we'll print some more. Give them, send them out, encourage them. Encourage people to make the act of contrition many, many times during the day. Encourage the people to make spiritual communions many, many times during the day. It doesn't take that much time. Encourage people to love God before all things, and that, as you certainly know, does not take any time at all. It is an act of the will, and you do it. That's all it takes. It would be absolutely startling to you, but I'm going to tell you anyway, that there are priests that there are traditional priests. Did you hear that? There are traditional priests, good priests, otherwise. Who ridicule us because we preach the love of God. Because it isn't manly. It isn't masculine. It's silly. It's old woman. They laugh at us. Because we emphasize prayer. And their answer to that is, you've got other things to do. Go out and preach and convert the world. If that's the case, why, what has happened over the last 60 years? And all of this, when we've been out preaching and teaching and screaming and debating and arguing and fighting and everything else, why have we made no headway? Because self, I am the one who can go out and preach and convert. I am not able to convert Humpty Dumpty. Only God can bring that about. The grace of God operating in Humpty Dumpty will convert, not me. But I refuse to acknowledge that. In the last 60 years, 70 years, if that does not tell us something, then what in the name of thunder are we looking for? That's where we are, blessed people. You are the strength of God on this earth. And those like you, and who believe like you, and who pray like you, and who understand like you, you are the ones that are the strength of God on this earth. Do not falter. Do not falter. Pray. That's where your strength is. Spend your time in prayer and mortification and penance and commitment and adoration and reverence. That's all I ask of you and ask of us. We need God's help and God's blessing. And unless we have it, it will all be gone with the wind. And we too may falter. Remember what I said. Lucifer is very beautiful. And he presents to us all the arguments that he knows persuasively. That is where we are. We are there. And people, the man wrote that book of prayer. I've got the date on there. I think when it was transcribed or published or whatever, it was in 1957, which means that the book was probably written around 1950. How prophetic are the words of this man who is asking the very simple question, what are you going to do when there are no priests to bring you the Mass, to bring you the sacraments? What are you going to do? And now we have telephone calls that come in to us on a regular basis. What am I going to do? I have no priest. I can't go to confession. I can't go to communion. And I can't go to Mass. What am I going to do?